Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spandana Spurti Financial Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena, MD and CEO from Spandana Spurti Financial Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Zico. Thank you all for joining the call and investing time in understanding the journey of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited. As we present our result on a really auspicious day, our journey into the company now is seven quarters. The new management, that is Spandana 2.0, has been steering the ship now for more than seven quarters. The journey has been exciting with a lot of learnings. The entire management team is very excited about shaping the company to make it future-ready. Let me take you through the updates for the quarter. Quarter three was a quarter where we crossed a major milestone by reaching an AUM of 10,404 crores. This is the first time as an enterprise we have crossed the 10,000 crore mark. Also, from a profitability point of view, our PAT for the nine-month period was or is 372 crores, which has surpassed the full-year profits of Spandana Spurti of the past many years. So the story from an AUM perspective, from a profitability perspective, seems to be on track. There are, however, learnings which I'll cover in the subsequent narrative. On 11th of December 2023, which is just the last year, or rather a few days prior to the results that we are presenting, we held our first-ever in-person analyst, investor, lender, and stakeholders meet at Mumbai, titled Spandana 2.0: Invested in Bharat. The entire senior management of the company presented their articulation of where and how they propose to steer their respective functions to the larger delivery of the organizational goals. The event was attended by more than 120 participants, and we thank all of them for coming over and spending their precious time with us. A first for Spandana: the event was watched live by our over 12,500 employees. With Vision 2025 halfway through, we presented the progress we have made against the benchmarks we had set for ourselves. In the meeting, we also articulated our Vision 28, and the theme was 28 by 28, that is, a portfolio of 28,000 crores by FY 2028. Now, let me go to the regular operational updates for the quarter. Let me start with the rating update. We have had a few rating changes over the past few weeks. ICRA rating for Spandana. So there has been a change in outlook from A stable to A positive. In CRISIL, CRISIL rating for Spandana, there's a change in outlook from A stable to A positive. So we've had a change in outlook in both ICRA and CRISIL. All of you are aware that we have a subsidiary called CRIS Financials. There, we've had a rating upgrade from ICRA from the BBB+ stable to A- positive. So overall, the rating update and the progress we are making on ratings is very much on track, and we'll continue to do all the things that are required to ensure that we create a robust organization for the future. Now let me give an update on branch opening and business update. During the quarter, we opened 72 branches. We now have 1,574 branches, of which weekly branches are 375. This also includes 18 new branches opened during the year for loan against property and nano loans under our subsidiary Chris Financials. Over time, we have highlighted our faith in pursuing the weekly JLG model of microfinance. For the quarter we disbursed, which is the last quarter, we disbursed 407 crores in the weekly branches, which is 16% of the total disbursement in the quarter. We now have a portfolio of 535 crores in the weekly branches, which are currently delivering a net collection efficiency of 99.7%. We will continue to pursue our journey to move the company into the weekly model, which now brings me to the Parivartan project, which we had launched in the month of July 2023. Let me just spend a few minutes here, because it's very, very important that we are able to communicate the change that we are wanting to bring in the organization. We are wanting to communicate to you the challenges in that change. While the easier option for us as a team was to continue BAU, however, the model then, which we are now trying to change, was, we believe, there were challenges in scalability of the model, and most importantly, in our wisdom, what is right for the company. So we continue to progress on taking all initiatives to ensure that we do what is right for the organization. We will see some blips here and there in a quarter, but the long-term story has to be intact, and which is what we are doing, or we are attempting to do. In the last update, when we had come out with our Q2 results, I had elaborated our attempt at rejigging the distribution model to better align with the way we think it would deliver optimum results in the future, and a first step to move the monthly branches to weekly repayment branches. Accordingly, we had launched Project Parivartan across 730 branches pan-India, which covered 1.6 million customers. I will repeat, 16 lakh customers or 1.6 million customers across 730 branches were in the scope of the Parivartan model. While we had detailed the project last time around and had given a heads up on the disruption it would cause to our immediate business, there are many of you who reached out to us and advised us to elaborate on the project, and most importantly, how much more time it would take to normalize. Also, there were a few people who asked why was it done at all. I will try to answer that. I did answer the why was it done at all. Very clearly, we want to make the organization and the distribution model scalable. 10,400 is where we have reached. We will end the FY25, which is next year, in thereabouts of 15,000 crores, which is what we've been speaking to all of you about, with an asset quality of sub of 2%, or rather credit loss of under 2%, ROAs of 4.5% and above, and NIMs of 13.5% and above. All of this, keeping all of this in mind, scalability of the model is very, very important. The robustness of the model and the strength of the model independently is extremely critical. And hence, we've decided to walk the talk. Like when we took over, we had written off a chunk of the portfolio which was not good. We, as a management, will not deter to bite the bullet when required. We thought this was required, this is needed for the company, this is absolutely essential, that there is a long-term story in our institution, and hence we are continuing with this. So here is our take once again. The earlier distribution model of the company was designed as monthly repayment, number one. Number two, collection cycle was from 1st until 10th of the month. Number three, disbursement was 11th onwards until 30th, 31st of the month. While there was no restriction, but practically in the collection days, there was hardly any disbursement, and the disbursement was focused on the balance 20 days. We wanted to alter the above model to make it more distributed across the month, convert the repayment to a weekly cycle, and most importantly, ensure that all the three things core to microfinance, that is new member acquisition, disbursement and collection, happen on all days of the month and not on selective dates or days. This is very, very important, friends, and hence I am kind of belaboring this point. In microfinance, a stop and start model does not work in our limited experience. You have to do disbursement, you have to do new member acquisition, you have to do the collection all in one go, in the same time, in the same geography, in the communities that you offer, that you operate in. And hence, you know, the Parivartan was a necessity. So accordingly, we picked 730 branches pan-India, which had about 5,500 crores of portfolios, about 53% of the book, across 1.6 million customers, where we launched Parivartan in across the months of July and August last year. In this, the repayment was changed. So what we did was we changed the repayment from dates to days, which means instead of the installment date of 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, we said now your installment will be either on a Monday of the week or a Tuesday and a specific time. So the dates were converted into days. This was a precursor to the weekly model that is generally prevalent across. And even in our company, the 375 branches, they operate on a regular week, Monday to Friday. All the three things, collection, disbursement and new member acquisition, happen every single day. In this, so I'll repeat again, in this, the repayment was changed from dates to days. The 10 days repayment was compressed to weekly, that is week 1, week 2 and so on. This was a precursor to moving to the weekly repayment model for new loans. This required a change in the repayment dates, change in center meeting day and time, and changes in the loan officers as well. Means the schedule of the loan officers also had to undergo a change. Because of the wide scale and the fact that this involved almost about 5,000 loan officers, which is 55% of the loan officers, there were many instances wherein scheduled repayment dates were missed by customers or our loan officers could not reach on time. Thus, due date collection took a hit, resulting in the branch staff going to customers again during the month to collect the monthly installments. Hence, a lot of time was invested in redoing the process by the branch staff, reaching out to the customers, going for collections again, thus leading to a wastage of productive time. In many branches post the transition, our staff were engaged in doing the rounds of the customers through the month, thus impacting our disbursement cadence, which, as you would have seen, in the month of October, our disbursement was probably about 450 crore short than what we would have wanted, which we kind of got back to normal in the month of November and December. But this was the immediate impact on the specific month that I spoke about. Apart from this, there was slippages in the portfolio also across the buckets for the reasons that I mentioned. Just to give you some numbers, about 49,000 borrowers who are a part of the SMA bucket, which contribute about 61% of the AUM in that bucket. So the impact was straight. Likewise, if I were to look at GNPA, we are talking of 38,000 borrowers, where 56% of the GNPA was from the Parivartan branches. So the point I'm trying to make is, if we were to scope the problem is on 2.9 million customer base that we have. We are talking of 49,000 borrowers or 38,000 in the GNPA bucket. You know, now that they have flown already, we will definitely go and collect. But the point is, larger point is, this is to answer many questions and concerns that were raised while we've been actively engaged with most of you, is why do this at all? We are doing it because we want to take the company to a immediate 15 and an eventual 28,000 by FY28. The model which was at that time prevalent, which we are attempting to change, obviously was not a scalable model, and that's why we are walking the way we are. So we've come, however, a long way since then. Of course, a lot of labor for the branch staff, a lot of hard times for us, and most importantly, a lot of communication through the channels with customers, branch staff, etc. has led us to a stage where we are seeing the end of the journey. We have to refine a few pockets and are confident that in the next 3 to 4 months, we would have regularized the situation. Of course, there's absolutely no problem in accepting that it took slightly more time than what we had anticipated. This was, however, a temporary inconvenience for a better tomorrow. We, as a management team, are very clear on it. And hence, our entire teams in the head office and in the branches are channelized towards ensuring a quick regularization ASAP. And as I said, we've already carved out or we've scoped out the problem. We are talking of 49,000 customers in the SMA bucket out of a 2.9 million. With a field force of about 8,000, the branch staff about branch managers and above about 2,000, I'm sure we'll be able to kind of regularize ASAP. Once we are done, we will take up the second set of branches, which is the non-parivartan today. Albeit, it will be why we are wiser by experience in the first phase. Rest assured, we will handle this very, very carefully. We have a lot of learnings from this project, which we will implement, but we will only do it once we are completely regularized on this, you know, the current set of 730 branches, which, as I told you, will need another, at best, 3 to 4 months. Going back to, and if there are any more questions on Parivartan, you know, we'll be happy to answer in the Q&As. Another update on branch opening. During the course of the year, as articulated multiple times, in our focus is going the weekly repayment way. We opened 375 branches during the year, which have weekly repayment for the customers. In Q3, these branches have contributed 16% to disbursements, which we are confident, or as per our estimates, next year, probably the same period, we will have upwards of 40-45% of contribution from these branches, if not more. Over the past 7 quarters, there are a lot of things we've got right, a few things we missed, but to summarize, the process of learning continues. All our initiatives and steps converge on the fundamental objective of ensuring that the company is future ready. At this stage, we can say with reasonable surety that the company is on course to becoming a process-driven and stable enterprise with professionals manning their respective domains. We are taking all the steps to ensure the company becomes strong to capitalize the opportunity that exists in the environment. Now to go into the highlights of the quarter. New customer acquisition, and I would urge you to kindly, you know, just follow this narrative, because this is what we've been speaking for the last 5-7 quarters. Our focus on customer acquisition is absolutely supreme. New customer acquisition is the fuel for any organization. You might have as much vintage, but it's very important that you have to keep on churning the customer base, attracting customers who are not good and getting in customers who are quality. If you look at our new customer acquisition, our new customer addition during the year was 3.4 lakhs. YOY, a growth of 56%. Quarter, there was about 10,000 less than the previous quarter. We've acquired friends with these 9 months. We have acquired 9.5 lakh customers in the first 9 months of the year, which is very close to a million customers. While this is 112% growth over 9 months of the previous year, as a company, we are currently at 2.96 million customers, which is just a shade below 3 million, which is a growth in customer base of 32% YOY and a 10% growth over the previous quarter. Customer acquisition story for us is the primary story that we are driving on the grounds, and we are, you know, seeing the initial results that we see. On the AUM front, at the end of the quarter, we were at 10,404 crores, which is a 52% growth YOY and 6% growth quarter on quarter. The geographical concentration risk, and I've been raising this point and I've been highlighting and touching upon this point over the last few calls. Geographical concentration risk in MFI is the biggest risk. Our top three states contribute 42% to our portfolio. The top five are 61%. Our aim, as elaborated in our Vision 28, the maximum contribution of any state should not be more than 11 to 13%. Currently, we have two states in that range. We are at the top two states, which is Madhya Pradesh and Odisha, are 14%. The 14% is down from 16.5% when we had taken over. So we will aim to get this in the range that I have just spoken, which will be a combination of the increase in the overall denomination or the denominator in the other states, plus selectively closing down a few pockets in these specific states which are not profitable for us. On the disbursement side, disbursement for the quarter was 2,543 crores. The YOY growth of 8% and a quarter on growth of 1%. I have given you the reasons. We were very well on course to deliver a 2,800 to 3,000 crores of disbursement. However, the October month, when we were kind of just trying to manage the parivartan in terms of putting the building blocks in place to ensure that there is relatively lesser disruption. So that took a hit. So that 1 month kind of led to where we are. But then we, once again, you know, we are not, this quarter we are back. In fact, November itself, you know, we got back November, December, and then January onwards, we'll see the traction coming up. The disbursement was short by around 450 crores that I've already said. On the asset quality front, again, going back to the presentation, if you look at our GNPAs, the GNPAs have increased from 1.4% of last quarter to a 1.61% in this quarter. While this is still below 2% of our guided number, however, we are fully cognizant of the fact that for us to kind of progress, we will have to ensure that we keep the credit quality well under check. As I had said the last time around, about 61% is contributed by the Parivartan branches. We'll probably see a pain in one more quarter, if at all there is, while we'll try to manage, but if at all we have to, we will kind of take that on our chin and move on. But the overall story, which is the regularization story on the field, the customer acclimatization to the new environment, and most importantly, our employees kind of adopting this model for the obvious gains, has kind of gone up tremendously, and hence our confidence that, you know, this will be managed. Just a question of 3 or 4 months. On the financial side, once again, the net NPA was 0.48%, an increase of 6 bps over the previous quarter. The gross slippages during the 9 months of current financial year has been 113 crores, which is 1.1% of AUM. Gross slippage, I'll repeat again, gross slippage during the 9 months of current financial year was 113 crores, which is 1.1% of the AUM. The provisioning coverage ratio continues to be 70.45%, so there is no change in that position. CRAR continues to be a healthy 35%, indicating that the balance sheet is pretty healthy. On the collection efficiency side, the net collection efficiency was 97.2%. The gross collection efficiency was almost 100%. Coming back to the liability side, we mobilized 2,279 crores in quarter three, which is a growth of 8% YOY. All of you are aware about the new guidelines on the qualifying asset and how the cash is a part of the denominator which is used to calculate the total assets. So outside of the mobilization, we had 900 plus crores of sanctions in hand, which we did not draw for the reasons that I just mentioned. Currently, our weighted on the cost side, currently our weighted average cost of borrowings is 12.3%. We are working towards reducing it to sub 12. Because of our introduction into weekly models and the fact that we've introduced shorter tenure loans, 12 and 18 months, we have seen the average maturity of assets, the period for average maturity of assets going slightly down. So we have a positive ALM mismatch. The average maturity of liabilities is 9.6 months and average maturity of assets is 12.1 months. We ended the quarter with a very strong cash and bank balance, which was 1,669 crores. On the financial performance side, the income reported was 657 crores, the growth of 75% YOY. Net income is up 60% to 407 crores. The yield is 24.1%, and in the questions we'll answer, there's a quarter-on-quarter drop on the yield and the NIM. We'll do the explanation in the questions. The PPOP for the quarter was 240 crores. This is a decline of 7% over Q2, and this is very important. I'm just repeating. The PPOP was 240 crores, which is a decline of 7% over the previous quarter. But this was because of a higher income of 42 crores from direct assignment in the previous quarter, which by design, we've kind of, this quarter, we did direct assignment for which we booked income of 20 crores only. So against a 42 crores of income from direct assignment in quarter two, our income from direct assignment in quarter three was 20 crores. So this drop has led to the compression of the PPOP and the NIMS and the ROAs that we just spoke about. Profit after tax was 127 crores, which is a growth of 79% and a quarter on quarter 2% growth. Let me also reiterate the initiatives. So this is the financial part and we'll take all the questions that you would have. Let me just quickly conclude my commentary. We continue to progress on the five key levers of the running the organization. First is people, practices and communication. Second is bringing the cultural changes in the company. Number three is process improvement. Number four, as a company, we are now more data driven. Number five, apart from the distribution initiatives, which is the Parivartan that I spoke about, we continue to pursue it. Specific to distribution, we've taken the following steps, which are very important. And this is just a repetition of what we've been articulating all along. We will continue to progress on the customer acquisition-led growth. Moving to a weekly repayment from the current monthly is the end game for all of whatever we are doing. Number three, the geographical concentration mitigation approach is what we are pursuing. I've got into the details in the earlier part of my commentary. Given the relative growth opportunity that other states offer, if you remember, we had come out with our, when we came out with the Vision 25, we had identified seven focus states. Currently, we are putting on the back burner or we are dropping Haryana from the list as we'll continue to focus on the other six states, which are namely Bihar, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, Tamil Nadu and Gujarat. Haryana was in the list of top seven. So we are just dropping Haryana. We have a very small book of about 40 crores there. So we will kind of just go slow on Haryana and we will focus on the other six states for various reasons. Our core belief and philosophy remains: acquire more customers, lend shorter tenures, muted ticket sizes and monitoring indebtedness at customer level, and weekly repayments, which we've already highlighted. I thank all the stakeholders of Spandana, the board, our lenders and our colleagues in Spandana who pooled in their energies during the year. A special note of thanks to all the branch staff, our loan officers, branch managers and the entire field staff who are slogging hard to deliver the results. Thank you very much to all of you on the call. You've been a constant source of encouragement by giving us positive advice, feedback, and of course, support during the year. We look forward to receiving similar encouragement in the future. We have the entire management team with us, and we are ready to take the questions now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Yeah, Zico, you can start the questions. People can keep joining. There are already some 4 or 5.
Yes, sir. Our first question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. And first, sir, thank you so much for such an elaborate...
Sir, may I request you to use your handset, please?
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
So what I was saying is, Shilap sir, thank you so much for an elaborate opening remarks. Just two questions that I had. I mean, during your opening remarks, you did touch upon the fact that yields have declined QOQ. So if you can just explain that, like some of your peers, have you also cut lending rates during the quarter, which has led to this declining yields?
Hi Abhijit, this is Ashish. No, we have not done any changes to our interest rate. So we continue to operate at 25% plus 1% the processing fee. The decline primarily was led by, you know, the continuing leverage improvement over the last 1 year. Plus there has been, obviously there have been some flows that Shalab talked about, which kind of contributed to, you know, the reversal of income on the GNPA side. Those are the reasons for the decline in NIM. However, what we expect is on a BAU basis, a NIM of, you know, over 13.5%, which we should achieve in, you know, I mean, we are not very far off from that number. So we should be able to achieve it in the coming quarters.
Got it. So Ashish, I mean, just help me understand. Essentially, it was interest income reversals which you are suggesting led to a declining yield. So if you can quantify what was the interest income reversals in this quarter?
So we had a total gross flow in the GNPA of about 56 crores. And the interest reversal number was about 6 crores on this particular aspect.
And that is the only reason which led to declining yields.
Like I told you, there have been multiple reasons. One is there has been some overdue book, which is there in the 1 to 90 book. So as you collect that, you will be able to, have a replacement into the performing book. That is one. Second is this GNPA, which led to a 6 crores drop. Shalab also touched upon, there has been DAs that we have done in the past. So when you do a DA, there is a preponement of income. So I would have booked some income of that this quarter into the previous quarter itself. So that always, if that number was a higher in the previous quarters, it will have some impact on this quarter on an overall basis. Having said that not necessarily impact your NIM. The NIM is primarily impacted by the reversals, the overdue book and the leverage.
Got it. And then maybe one last question that I had was on asset quality. I mean, we explained very elaborately on how Project Parivartan kind of led to flows into the SMA buckets. But just wanted you to elaborate on some other factors, if at all. I mean, like floods or seasoning of the book or any geography-specific issues that resulted in, asset quality deterioration during the quarter, X of what you saw from Project Parivartan. And maybe a related question here. Are you seeing anything unusual in Haryana which kind of led you to drop it from your list of focus states?
Yeah, so Abhijit, I'll take that one. The answer to your first question is that Parivartan project has led to the disruption that we are speaking about on the vectors of be it a yield or be it a NIM or be it a the ROAs, which is why I kind of took that extra 10 minutes to explain into the details, and happy to connect separately also. The point is that there are two, three combinations. One is two, three reasons. One is the interest, which is there are certain provisionings you have to do within the 1-90, elevated provisioning because of the SMA flows, because of the installments that were missed for the reasons that I've already clarified. Apart from that, the 56 crores that Ashish spoke about, which went into the GNPA. These are the two reasons. Apart from that, there isn't a specific reason which could have led to a bump up. And hence our confidence that, we'll kind of regularize this in the next 3 to 4 months. On the Haryana answer, right now, their state itself, there's a bit of a, disruption there. We are in a position where we can stop it. Our book is only 40 or 41 crores. Punjab, we have, so there are two places where there is some bit of a, this is what all of us have read in the newspapers. There's some bit of a disruption, in the environment. Punjab, we do not have any book, our book is zero there. So it is time. There is enough opportunity available in the six states. So hence we have temporarily paused it. We will take a look at it maybe 3-4 quarters down the line.
Got it. This is very useful. Thank you so much. I'll come back to the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on good numbers, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I think for clarification, can you separately give PAR and NPL for Parivartan and non-Parivartan portfolios? And then can you also comment on the non-Parivartan portfolio asset quality trends? Is it stable?
Yeah, sure. So there is no difference in terms of, asset quality on the SMA bucket. Obviously, Parivartan is a bigger contributor, and most of the flows, if you see, 48% of the flows are still sitting in 1-30 bucket in the SMA bucket. So we're very confident that, this should regularize. In terms of numbers, Parivartan portfolio in SMA bucket is about 87 crores out of the total, GNPA bucket, it is 87 crores out of total 155. And in the SMA bucket, it is 147 crores out of the total 249.
Okay. Thanks for this. And Ashish, Shalabh also mentioned about, maintaining credit cost for the year at 2% or sub 2%. But if you look at the first 9 months credit cost, it's slightly higher, more than 2%. And then we also spoke about that the regularization of the existing delinquency flows will take 3-4 months. And maybe we may see in the interim further flows happening in Parivartan branches in Q4. Then how come the credit cost in the fourth quarter will be very low to give us 2% average for the year?
So what Shalabh intended or what Shalabh meant was, if you look at the BAU business, we are at 1.4%, and I think that definitely will be below 2% is the point that Shalabh was trying to make. Of course, we had some, legacy pieces, DA and, the ARC for which we have provided. Those have been, considered separately. The flows from the current business or the business that we have been originating have been at 1.4%, and we are confident that it will continue to be below 2%.
Okay, got it. Just one last clarification. This DA income, which was lower, right, to 20 crore and versus 42 crore in the previous quarter, this is a part of the net gain on fair value changes. So even in this quarter, the overall number is still higher at 56 crore. So if 20 crore is DA income, what is the rest of that piece?
So we sit on some amount of, free cash, because there is a difference, or there is always cash in the system or on the balance sheet. This is all parked in, liquid funds at mutual funds or in fixed deposits with banks. So you do get some, income
which is, you know, also recorded in the same line.
Okay, so we had higher gains on those investments.
Yeah, we did have a higher cash balance compared to the last quarter, and that's the reason it is there.
Got it, got it. Thank you so much, Investor Flat.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my end. So you did mention that there is no revision in interest rates per se, but then is there any soft communication from the regulator given the fact that many of the microfinancers are sounding recalibration of interest rates, the biggest player already bringing it down by 50 bits. So what is the thought process or any sort of communication from the regulator?
No, no, see, the way we operate, Shweta, is we will do what is right. We are already in the process of reducing the interest rates for customers with cycle 6 and above. Likewise, you know, we will keep taking those initiatives to ensure that we pass on the benefits to the customers at large. Is there a formal communication from the regulator? The answer is no. Are we doing something on our own? The answer is yes. Are we taking steps to ensure that the customers who've been with us for many, many years are rewarded through some interest rates which are beneficial to them? The answer is yes. So we will continue to take those steps, you know, without any proactive or nudge from anyone. And obviously the regulator has already, you know, while there are no direct expectations, but as a prudent investor, we are ourselves walking that path, and we'll continue to take that path, you know, and you will see this quarter we will, we would have already taken those steps. So the next time when we, you know, when we come to you, we would have already executed those.
Understood. So the second question is, so while we are graduating entirely to weekly model, shifting to the weekly model, so what are the occupation, what is the occupational profile or, you know, the frequency of income of this set of borrowers that we are targeting, and is there any, so you had explained this in the previous calls as well, but is there any sort of inertia in terms of their wages, frequency, and therefore our collections?
No, Shweta, so look, the profile of the customer, which is a demographic profile, does not drastically change between a monthly to a weekly. Monthly to a weekly is more a cash flow adjustment and calibration issue, so that it becomes slightly easy for the customer to pay off every week rather than wait for a month, accumulate her so-called savings from her earnings and then come and give us that amount. So it is more an inherent character of the distribution model that you run, less to do with the alteration in the profile, customer profile. Our customer profile, irrespective of the repayment cycle, is the customer with typically a daily wage earner with a small grocery shop or a tailoring shop or a garage or cattle farming or, you know, milk business and so on and so forth. It is their convenience and our belief in the model which is leading us to get into the weekly model. A weekly liability of a 30,000 loan is anywhere about 600 to 650 rupees, which goes up to 2,400 to 2,500 in a monthly. Now, technically, everybody, there's nothing wrong in good times, Shweta. You know, good times monthly will behave the same as a weekly and vice versa. It is your conviction in the model which will drive your choice of the model, be it a weekly or a monthly, and which is what we are walking to. You know, our belief in the model, also what happens, and that is what is our belief, the joint liability group works better in a weekly model because of the inherent size of the liability, which is 1/4 of the monthly. So, you know, so if you are belief, if you have belief in the model, if you believe that this is a model to be pursued, then in our wisdom, and there are no right answers or there are no wrong answers, in our wisdom, weekly is what we chose, and this is where we will walk. No major change in either the profile of the customer or whatever. It just adds a lot of discipline into the center meetings. It adds a lot of discipline to our people. It adds a lot of discipline to the customers as well. and most importantly, the cash flows are managed is our belief, and that is what we are progressing on.
Fair point, sir. And one last question. So, what are the number of unique borrowers to Spandana, and also any strategy to sort of, you know, increase this count? And then one, you made a fleeting mention on sixth cycle loans. So, at what ticket size we maxed out in terms of cycles? And is there any change in increase in ticket size in the first cycle, or, you know, sort of disruption or changes there on the ticket size across cycles and where we maxed out? Thank you.
So, Shweta, three answers to your question. The first is ticket size is a measure to look at institutions and the way we lend. However, what we focus more on is the indebtedness level at a customer. At a customer level, that's very, very critical, Shweta, because what happens is I can give you three loans of 30,000 in a year. My ticket size is still much, much lower, whereas some company would be giving a ticket size of 40,000 with only one loan in a year. So, you know, so what is the ticket size is might not be the best from a point of view. Our indebtedness level currently are around 34,000 odd, which is about 6 to 7% lower than the industry. That's number one. Number two, if you see our, if you see the way we've been progressing on the ticket size to your specific question, our maximum cycle loan is 80,000 rupees, which by any stretch of imagination, if you go around, yeah, so my apologies for this, and I believe Shweta and everybody is still there. So our maximum ticket size is 80,000 rupees. We have no immediate proposal to increase the ticket size. We believe we are 5% to 7% lower than the average indebtedness at a customer level in the industry. We believe we will continue to progress on this. This is in line with our philosophy of muted ticket sizes and lending shorter tenure. So just to give you some color on the numbers, our monthly branches, Zico, can you confirm if people are online, right?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Shweta, if when about 2 years back when we took over, 100% of the company was 24 months. We introduced the 12 and 18 months. That 100% branches or the monthly branches which were where the portfolio was 100% 24 months, we now have that 100% is down to 83% only. 17% are the portfolio is 12 and 18 months, which means there are customers who are choosing to go for shorter tenures for various reasons. We can get into the details. Now I will go to the, if I give you the statistics of the weekly branches, it is exactly ulta. It is exactly ulta. The 12 and 18 month tenure is 88%. 24 month is only 12%. So what this says is that while the tenures can be shortened, yes, the runoffs are fast. Customers, however, kind of qualify for a second loan, but that is only after a period. Rather than giving a big loan, it is important that we kind of graduate them into understanding our culture, understanding our business, and then we kind of, graduate them to a higher ticket size loan. But any given point in time, we will never be aggressive on, the size of loans that we will give. We will incrementally keep on giving them many loans, but definitely not, 120 and a 150 and that kind of a number which is there. So very, 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 happy with the way we are progressing. To your question on what is the portfolio cut on how many customers have a relationship only with us, so the numbers, I will reel out the statistics which will probably answer your question. Right now, if I see my portfolio, my incremental portfolio of last quarter, 30% of the customers that we have have only single relationship with us. 30%. Another 31% have a relationship with one more outside of us. So it is 1 plus 1. Spandana plus one more is 31%. Another 25% is 1 plus 2. So if you add up all of this, this is 86%, and then 14% are, you know, 4 and, you know, 3 and 4, and because they take loan from us and then they go, and take a loan from somewhere else. So the focus continues to be going deeper into rural India, trying to ensure that, you know, there is a good counseling done to the customer to ensure she borrows right. And most importantly, we lend right, you know, so it is, it works both ways, and that is what we are doing. Any follow-up on this, Shweta? Happy to answer.
Yeah, that was very helpful. I'm still squeezing in one last question. So our 9 month credit cost, so correct me if I'm wrong, our 9 month credit costs are closer to 3%. So what gives us confidence that by the end of this year itself, we shall be below 2%?
Shweta, you know, I think this Ashish elaborated the answer, but I'll repeat. The credit cost is split into two. The first is the portfolio credit cost, and the second is the cost that we have taken for historical reasons. You know, there were various reasons. It has, while it still had to do with portfolio, but these are all dated portfolios, 2018, 2019 and stuff. So that, if you see, and there is a slide that we have given on the, you know, the slide 13 in the investor deck, the right table at the bottom. If you see the split is 1.4% is the portfolio quality, you know, loss rate, and 1.5% is the other cost that I said. That other cost is a 1.1 time cost, which is done, dusted, and over. Portfolio cost credit loss is what is a, on a sustainable basis has to be monitored and, you know, has to be looked at, which we are currently at a 1.4, and hence our confidence that we will be at a under 2, you know, in the future as well.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for elaborate answers and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashwani Agarwal from Edelweiss Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Haji.
I have a couple of questions. First of all, we are approaching the election season. So the Q4 and Q1, can do we anticipate some kind of problem or problem in the intentions of paying the loan? Do we see some kind of problems in the MFI sector as a whole because of the elections?
Is that the question? You have any more questions, or this is the only question?
No, I've got a couple of more questions. What is the loan growth which we can expect for the next 2 years, and from which segment should it come? Would it be more ticket driven or more customer driven? And as you said, fixed rate will be driving the loan growth. And then how we see our ratios, the cost ratios, credit cost ratios, and ROA for the next 2 years.
Understood. So you have four questions. I'll just answer one by one. Let me start with the sequentially election. Elections, we've seen many elections over the past many years, barring stray one example that I can remember very clearly. We have had a very stable economic environment, more driven by the, you know, all the stakeholders, which is be it the judiciary or be it the political machinery or be it the executive or even the customer and employee for that matter. So I think, you know, we have seen a substantial maturity creep into the system of the, you know, microfinance. And given the fact that this is bottom of the pyramid, we've seen a great understanding from a customer point of view on understanding that there is nothing called a free lunch now. Customers are also mature, so they are very well aware that this will, you know, there is nothing called a loan waiver or whatever. So in our considered opinion, election should not disrupt or will not disrupt, because this is not the first. We've already seen one election in 2019, you know, which happened. This is during few years that we're talking about. Apart from that, there are state elections in practically, you know, every year you see some 4 or 5 state elections. So there's enough maturity in the system. At the same time, one can't really discount a stray happening here and there. But broadly speaking, both from a design perspective and the way the market has matured over the years, we do not anticipate much problem, more so because there's a lot of support from a customer side also. Customer is very well aware that a default here leads to a complete disruption in her credit borrowings from anywhere, you know, via microfinance. So, you know, so that is why they are extra cautious as well. Yes, there could not, you can't rule out a disruption on account of a flood or on account of, you know, a cyclone or, you know, all of those things can happen. But those are all temporary, you know, a couple of months it takes, 3 months it takes to kind of regularize. So this is the first answer to your question. The second answer is what will be the loan growth. We will end this year anywhere between 11,500-12,000 crores of AUM. Next year we are targeting as per our vision 15,000 crores. So that's a 25% increase on the loan book. For all the steps that we've taken this year in terms of investment into branches, people, weekly and the Parivartan, because that is a straight input into quality that we will deliver. All of that, we feel that we'll be able to deliver the loan growth more so because there's sufficient traction in the economy and in the market as well. The industry is slated to grow anywhere between 22 to 23%, so we're targeting a 25%, which in our estimate is a reasonable number to target. What will be the vectors that will drive this growth? The first is, you know, we are what we have said is that we are projecting a ROA of upwards of 4.5%. Our credit loss ratios will be under 2%. It will be south of 2%. Our ROEs should be anywhere between 17 to 19%. We are from a growth in which states perspective, the six states that I spoke about is where the maximum growth will take place. That is what is going to add a lot of balance to the geographical concentration that I keep on repeating time and again in every call. We want to aim that a single state should not contribute or should contribute in the range of 11 to 13% and no more. Currently, our top three states are 42%. We are wanting to get them to 35 to 36%, which will be a good outcome. On the OPEX side, we are currently at a 6.6%. Our steady state guidance has been that we will be under 6%. So anywhere between 5.5 to 6% is what we will operate at. On a cost to income, I think, you know, in the mid 30s, to so 35 to 38, 39% in a steady state is what we will continue to deliver. Ashwini, you are there?
Yes, sir, I'm there. Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we are moving from a monthly to weekly collection models, don't we expect our cost to income to increase?
Yeah, so look, the cost, this concern of cost going up comes predominantly from the fact or from the assumption that the customer in a monthly goes only once and in a weekly has to go four times, which might be a misnomer because that is not how it exactly translates. When you have to acquire a new customer, you have to go into the same village, you have to go into the same community to acquire a new customer. When we go to collect that missed installment, you again land up in the same hamlet or in the same pocket. So any saving on conveyance is largely the issue, might not be the best way to look at it. Our personal experience, past organization, we ran a 30,000 crore book, which was a weekly. In fact, there are many examples of weak companies which are run in the weekly model at a AUM delivering cost to AUM of about 5.5%. So there is, from a cost point of view, there isn't sufficient ground for anyone to corroborate, or there is not enough data to even answer the concern that, you know, a monthly is less expensive and weekly is more expensive. If you look at the balance sheets, the data doesn't say so. I will flip this and say that in times of disruption, be it your demonetization or be it your COVID, in times of a crisis, the weekly model is the first to come out of that crisis because of the inherent size of the liability. I pay 600 bucks and I clear off my one installment, which is 2000, which is 4x in a monthly. So, you know, so that is why the weekly installments kind of are slightly better model to follow in a, when there is a disruption or when there is a natural calamity. So, to summarize, no data to support that monthly is less expensive than weekly. There's enough data to support that the companies which are running the weekly model are running at probably better cost to income or cost to AUM, OPEX to AUM. And in terms of crisis, obviously that is enough. There is enough data in the market to suggest that in terms of crisis, in times of crisis, the weekly model is the first to come out. So that's the reason, we are confident on the model.
So one last question, if I can squeeze in.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir. In 2019, we had the Citizenship Amendment Act. It was just talked upon, and so there was a lot of turmoil in the country with a few states specific. So what was your experience then in your earlier company in terms of disruption in business, asset quality, or any other problem which you faced?
Oh, at least to the best of my memory, I can't think of anything significant that would have happened even in a branch level, forget a geography level.
So that happened from 2018, September, October onwards to 2019,
January. Yeah. So I was there very much, when this happened. And I say this with reasonable confidence that there is nothing which caused disruption to the overall, overall industry, forget a specific company. See, you will see these minor, noises here and there, but does it disturb the equilibrium of the customer repayment? The answer is no.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a decent set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, with respect to this project Parivartan, now I heard the numbers, so broadly your NPAs and SMAs are similar in the non-Parivartan and Parivartan buckets. So now that you are saying that 3-4 months of pain is left in the half of the portfolio which has got in under Parivartan, and after that we will tackle the part of the portfolio which is currently not under the project Parivartan. So does it also mean that this year where we are totaling to more than 3-3.5% of credit costs? So next year also, not on a BAU basis, but overall on the reported number basis, you might be, similar to this year in terms of your credit cost. So that's the question number one. And second, on the project Parivartan where you mentioned 50,000 accounts. So what is the expected slippage from this portfolio, which is still to be accounted for in your
estimates? Yeah, so Sarvesh, I'll start the answer and then I'll hand over to Ashish, even though it is a repetition in the call, but I'm sure and I'm happy to kind of repeat. The credit cost, let me first answer the, Shweta also asked a similar thing and in our commentary also we had covered. The 2.9 that you are referring to, page number 13 in the investor deck, bottom table right hand side. We've specified the two cost lines, 1.4 and 1.5. 1.4 is the credit quality loss and 1.5% is the non-credit loss which is pertaining to the historical portfolio. There are reasons why this is there. This is a one-time thing which has been done and it is over. There is still some tail left, but that is not a part of this discussion, so we're keeping that out. Right now, what we are saying is that if one has to look at the character of the portfolio and how is it going to pan out in the future, you have to look at the portfolio quality, which is the 1.4 that we've referred to. We are saying 2% and it will be under 2%, which we are reasonably sure that, that is how it is going to play out. Now, on the specific thing, I will ask Ashish to repeat the numbers because it is the Parivartan and non-Parivartan is not linear. There is a disproportionate flow in the Parivartan corresponding to the portfolio that we have in Parivartan. So I'll ask Ashish to repeat the number so that, all of us are on the same page.
So if you look at the SMA buckets, the numbers that I gave was 147 crores out of 249. This is 61% compared to 39%, in non-Parivartan. and this 61% should be related with, you know, the overall portfolio is 53%. So there is a definitely a higher slippage or a move which, you know, the Parivartan branches are showing at this point in time. Similarly, in GNPA, the contribution from the Parivartan branches is, you know, 56% compared to 44, which is in non-Parivartan. So overall, what we are trying to explain is the Parivartan branches are posing a larger challenge when compared to the rest of the book. If you have to look at it as a BAU, it is still at 1.4%. But within the 1.4%, the larger challenge is coming from the you know, the Parivartan branches, which should normalize, is our point.
Just to complete this, our, and this was your question, you know, what happens next year and what happens to the unresolved piece on non, which is the non-Parivartan branches. I said it in my commentary, we are wiser by experience, and obviously we will ensure that we don't do a repeat. Otherwise, you know, we do not, I mean, then we understand very well now how the customer behaves, how our employee behaves, and hence it will be absolutely calibrated, and we will not start it unless we are fully satisfied with the Parivartan one. That goes without saying, Sarvesh, you know, so that we are very, very clear, number one. Number two, next year what happens to the loss rates, you know, on account of this? As I told you, it is more to do with the timely, you know, the time when we go, our loan officer reaches the customer, or inability to reach on the time, same time as decided by the customer, and vice versa, which has led to the slippage. Will it continue to continue forever? Obviously not. Will we start Parivartan 2 unless this is settled? Absolutely not. What is the projection of loss rates for the next year on this? Under 2% is what we are you know, what we are saying, and I think, you know, we are, even the numbers, the trend now, if we look at it, you know, I think we are fairly confident that will happen.
See, the reason I was asking, so even if you look at this 1.4, right, most of it has come into this quarter only, and now we are left with probably 5 more quarters of this Parivartan project to be done before it ends completely. And most of it, this has flown into quarter 3 only. So if you actually analyze for this quarter's credit cost, it comes to be much higher than, you know, 2%. So that is why there is a concern, you know, for just this 1.4% itself, because now only we have started to see the, you know, the flows into this NPA bucket. And secondly, on the 1.5% also, if you can give some guidance as to what else is remaining now, or are we mostly done, or do we have something more which will come out from the historical book?
Yeah, so on the first part, see, the Parivartan branches are likely to settle not in 4 quarters, we've said 4 to 5 months. So at best, you know, 1 or 2 quarters, we should see this, you know, kind of settling down. It should not extend beyond that. The second part of the question in terms of, you know, the other piece, this was asked in the last con call as well. We do have about 60 crores more that will come in this other part. Of course, it will come over a period of next, you know, 1 to 2 or 3 quarters maybe.
Understood. Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from Soul Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Sir, I missed it in the opening remark. We mentioned about the gross slippage and net slippage. I wanted those numbers, sir.
Sorry, GNPA and NPA, or just the numbers, Anandji?
Gross slippage, sir, for this particular quarter.
56 crores was the gross slippage in the GNPA bucket.
Okay. And, sir, net slippage, there would be some assets, no, which would have turned standard from NPA, or gross and net are similar.
4 crores was the upgrade from, you know, the GNPA to back into the current bucket.
Okay, noted. And sir, other question was, what about the bad debt recovery this quarter, sir?
So, one is the 4 crore that we talked about. Apart from that, we do have recovery from write-offs to the tunes of... But this is total. Huh?
This year, I'll give you the yearly number which I have.
Five crores is the recovery from write-off, but we do have ARC in other buckets.
Anand, on the 9 months number, we've recovered 71 crores. 72 crores is the number that we recovered. We originally started with a target of 125 crores. This quarter, I think we should tip over the 100 number. 120 might not happen, but next year we are targeting 150 number. Next year, but this year we are at a reasonable position to cross the 100 crores of recovery across all buckets, all the GNPS.
So next year you are targeting 150 crores.
So this has a ARC, the SRs that we have on the balance sheet. The number includes that part as well.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, all of you, for your sustained interest in our company. Obviously, there are things that we are doing which might not be popular, but are extremely important from a strengthening the company point of view and from ensuring that this company sustains and is a future ready company. We are taking all the steps to ensure that we kind of create a wholesome model which is more amenable to scalability and withstanding any shock that might come or any disruption that might come in the future. So we are taking all those steps. Thank you for all the support. We will continue our journey of Spandana into Vision 25, which ends the next year, and then into the Vision 28 that we've articulated. Thank you very much for all your support. Goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.